Because then you can know where we are and where we're going. And you can go back to the text and you can be a noble Berean, Acts chapter 17, and you can see if these things are so. Now, the reason why I wanted just to give an overview of where we were, where we are, and where we're going is because I'm quite concerned that as we work through the book of Genesis, chapter 12, at least into 24, that we're just going to gain a bunch of knowledge. And I'm concerned because if you're anything like me, you can be contented with the fact that this church is expositional. That is, that we're not like those other churches that are just flying around all over the place. But I don't want us just to learn about Abraham. I want us to know God the way Abraham knew God. And I want us to follow God the way Abraham followed God. And I want us to be a blessing to the world the way Abraham was. And of course, we're going to see repeatedly that the blessing of Abraham to the world is that he points to Christ. But Abraham in his obedience was also a blessing at that time to the world. And we're going to see it. That to the extent that Abraham obeys God, he blesses the world. When he is a blessing to, say, Ahimelech. Or when he prays for his nephew Lot. And we're going to see that as Isaac is a blessing, or as Jacob is a blessing, or Joseph is a blessing, even to the Egyptians, is based upon the fact that they take God at his word and they obey it. And that's what I want us to get, is not just to learn about Abraham, but for us to be transformed and to walk in the footsteps of our father Abraham. If you've heard that, it's out of Romans chapter 4. And when Paul thinks of the example of what it means to trust God, to be justified by faith, but then to walk by faith, he thinks of Abraham. And so does James. And so does the author of Hebrews. The New Testament looks to Abraham as the exemplar par excellence of what it looks like to follow God, to take God at his word, and then to walk in obedience. And I'm concerned that many of us can be contented, whether we're Reformed or Baptist or Reformed Baptist, to be just contented with a head knowledge. So let me read Genesis chapter 12. We'll pick up the exposition proper next week. But already, with the introduction of Abraham in his life, we're going to see this is a man who obeys. Not perfectly. He points beyond himself to the man who obeys perfectly. We'll conclude with Romans 5. Got it. But I would ask you this morning, do you want more of God's blessing in your life? Ryan sounds like he's going prosperity. No, I'm going biblical on you. Do you want more of God's blessing in your life? Do you want to be more of a blessing to those around you? I'm concerned that many of us are contented that we just know God, but we're not really a blessing to our neighbors. We're not a blessing to our coworkers. We're not even a blessing to our family. And I'll say this, it's because we're not really walking by faith. We've been contented with a mere head knowledge. That we're content that the pastor preaches expositionally. And we're not like those other churches. The elders met last week, and I really want to challenge you this year to take God at his word and to obey it. To understand what James says in chapter 2, that Abraham was justified by his works. What? Paul says he's justified by faith, and what James is saying is that the faith which justifies is a faith that obeys. Or as Nathan told me helpfully at our elders' meeting, true faith obeys. I don't want us to be those that James 1 talks about who are merely contented with hearing the word, deceiving ourselves because we're not doers of the word. When Paul talks about Abraham, he says that we follow in the footsteps. The Jews were contented. This is our father Abraham. And Jesus says in John 8, if you were children of Abraham, you would do what Abraham did. What's that? Believe the gospel and then live it out. And that's what I really want for us. Being away from you guys for 2 weeks is hard. I promise you, I'm not tickling your ears, and there's no joking. I miss this church. And God has given me and the elders a great love for you. And understand that I want you guys to be blessed beyond measure. And so I want you to obey. I want us to look to the text in Genesis and say, oh, how can we imitate Abraham? And how can we imitate the one to whom Abraham points, namely the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we walk by faith? Not just be justified by faith, but then be sanctified but I'm starting to preach before even I read the text. Verse 1. Now, it's a massive transition. We'll see it more next week, but Genesis can basically be broken up into two sections, and we finished the first section, namely chapters 1 through 11. Primeval history. The beginnings of everything. And we left on a sour note. I don't know if you remember that, but it was with mankind's universal, titanic, cataclysmic rebellion against God. That God had always intended to bless the world, that the blessing of God would spread throughout the world, and we're left in chapter 11 not with blessing, but cursing. Repeated. That the cursing following Genesis 1 and 2 matches the blessing of Genesis 1 and 2. You can count it. Blessing, blessing, blessing three times. Cursing, cursing, cursing. And we're like, is this God's last word? Is this the final note? What about God's plan to bless the world? Has it failed? Now the Lord said to Abram. In seed form, Abram is the hope of the world. God is writing this through Moses to the people of Israel, through whom they will be formed from Abraham. And what God wants us to see is that his plan to bless the world comes through the faithfulness of a man. You can put those gospel connections together as we preach. I'm not getting moralistic or legalistic, but this is massive. Even the Hebrews emphatic. Now, we're moving from chapters 1 through 11 and sort of the unfulfillment of blessing. And we're seeing now in seed form, pun intended, God's purposes to bless the world through a man. Now the Lord said to Abram, go. Go from everything that is comfortable. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will, there's that word, bless you and make your name great. What was the problem in chapter 11? That the people wanted to make a great name for themselves. Well, God promises this to Abraham. Will Abraham receive the promise by faith? Will he be blessed and will he be a blessing? Well, it all depends on his obedience. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. There's that word again. That's the second time. And I will bless those who bless you. And him who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord told him. We'll stop there. But we see that God has always intended to bless the world. Actually, I get this not from my own musings, but from the commentators. John Salehammer says that. That this is all about God's purpose to bless the world. That he created it to be a blessing. That man would enjoy God's goodness in this land. God's purpose to bless the world has not been thwarted. That even man in his rebellion, in his gathered communal rebellion, is not going to thwart. So how is God going to bless the world? It's going to be through Abraham and through his obedience. And I want you to understand that that mantle, yes, is fulfilled in Christ, but it's passed on from Christ to us. That we are blessed in Christ to be a blessing to the world. That Christ came into, yes, die for his people, but he commissions us now to reach his people. The sheep Jesus is praying for, we need to go and proclaim the gospel. Here's a quote from another commentator, Alan Ross. The focus since the beginning chapters of Genesis has been both on God's plan to bless humankind by providing them that which is good. On the one hand, his plan to bless. On the other hand, human failure to trust God and enjoy his good that he has provided. The characteristic mark of this failure has been the attempt by humans to grasp the good on their own, to make a name for themselves. Even as the builders of the Tower in Babel had tried to do. Moses now centers his description of God's blessing on the gift of land through Abraham. To leave God's promise, to seek one's own good, is to forfeit God's blessing that he has promised. And so I go back to the question that I asked you at the beginning. Are you desiring to be blessed this year? And are you desiring to bless others? We want to walk in the footsteps of Abraham. And I know there's going to be some of you screaming the way I used to. Ryan's getting moralistic. Aren't we a gospel-centered church? Absolutely. Abraham totally points to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've read Galatians. We preached through it two series ago. I'm referring not to seeds, plural, referring to many, but to seed or offspring one, namely to Jesus Christ. Yeah, Galatians 3:16. I got it. But I also understand passages like Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians 10 that say that God wrote these things in the Old Testament that we might learn from their example and not lose hope. We're going to see that Abraham's life is a lot like ours. That yes, even as Christians, God calls us out of a great electing love. But then God calls us to do hard things that we might bless his world. And that if we are to receive the blessing, we must walk by faith. And if we are to share the blessing, we must walk by faith. And I would ask you, is that a desire? Are you praying, God, help me not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer, to walk wisely? Not perfectly, that's why Jesus came, but Abraham is a blessing. In you, Abraham. I've seen commentators try to work around that. No, the Hebrew says, in you shall all the nations be blessed. And if Abraham does not obey, the nations are not blessed. And the same is true for us. Your neighbors will not be blessed if you do not obey the Great Commission. Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ will not be blessed unless you obey the exhortation to be in their lives and to encourage and exhort them. That we will not be blessed if we continue to love money more than we love God. So, I have a take home for you. Uncharacteristically, this is a short sermon. If you're a guest, that might scare you away, or you might be hoping for something a little more substantial. But for the sake of time, I just want us to have an overview of where Genesis is going. And this is the take home that I want not only for this morning, but for our study through the life of Abraham. As we learn who his God is, and we follow in his footsteps. You can get that in Romans 4. Why does Ryan keep talking about walking in the footsteps of Abraham? Because those are Paul's own inspired words. Who not merely are circumcised, or we might say in our common vernacular, who aren't just religious and do religious things and say religious stuff, but who actually walk the talk. You know what? Galatians 2:19, 20 came to my mind today, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Perfect tense. Every day, as it were, he's dying to himself. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith. That's what I want for us. True faith obeys. Are you obeying? Are you walking by faith? Are you living by faith? Because if you're not living by faith, you're not a blessing to your neighbor. Here's the take home. We spread God's blessing when you obey God's word. That's simple. You can put that on a coffee cup. I hope even more, though, that you'll put it on your heart. We spread God's blessing when we obey God's word. And then I have some brackets for those of you who want to memorize a couple extra words. We spread God's blessing to others when we obey God's word to us. Not just on Sundays, but when you read your word, when you read the word tomorrow for yourself in your devotions. Do you read, just sort of check it off, close it, go to work? Or do you read on your knees and, God, help me to be the man of integrity that I read in Proverbs 12 a couple days ago. Or I'm working through Romans chapter 1. That Paul was this commissioned apostle, that he had been granted grace to take the gospel to the Gentiles so that they might obey by faith. Are you saying, God, help me to obey by faith? How can I share? How can I mutually encourage others in the gospel? When you're reading anywhere, are you reading with towards obedience? Because if you read alone, you will not be a blessing. You will not receive the blessing. You will not spread the blessing. God has always destined and thus desired to bless his world through the obedience of his people. I want us to be an obedient church. I really do. I love you enough. I always think, you've heard me say this, but I love Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it would often creep up and show its head in many of his sermons. It seemed to be one of his favorite sayings in his application section. Quoting John 13, And where Jesus, having washed the feet of his disciples, says, well, you know what I've done. Blessed are you if you do it. The King James says, happy are you. And you're saying, well, which one is it? That Greek word, makarios, has the idea of both. It goes back to that Old Testament word, barach, means both. Oh, the joys, oh, the happinesses of those, Psalm 119. There's a lot of miserable Christians, and it's not miserable because of our circumstances. A lot of us are miserable because we're disobedient. We're not blessed. I'm not talking about some superficial, happy smile we slap on our face. I'm talking about a real joy, a real happiness. There is a biblical happiness. And we receive it by faith, and we spread it through obedience. Do you understand that? God has destined not only to bless you, but to make you a blessing. But that blessing comes as you believe the word. And if you believe the word, you will obey the word. Verse 4, Abraham went. How do I know Abraham believed? By faith, Abraham went. Where'd you get that? From Hebrews 11, which we'll look at next week. I would encourage you, I don't have any homework for the kids this week, but go and read Hebrews 11. It's called the chapter of faith. I call it the chapter of obedience. Which one is it? Did you notice it doesn't say he just believed? It says by faith they fill in the blank. By faith she fill in the blank. By faith he fill in the blank. It's not just believing. It's obeying. It's the obedience of faith. That's the bookends of the book of Romans. Chapter 1 verse 5, chapter 16 verse 26. Romans, why does Paul preach the gospel? So that people might obey Christ. Yes, faith comes by hearing, but that faith then obeys the gospel in justification and then obeys the gospel daily in sanctification. The gospel is just not about how we get saved. That's Romans 1, 2, and 3. Got it. But then Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 is all about how by that same faith we now grow up into Christ. How we walk in righteousness, not just have Christ's righteousness imputed to us by faith and justification, but how we live that righteousness out righteously in sanctification. Luther said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. Where do those good works come from? Faith, obeying the gospel. True faith obeys. Biblical faith is inseparable from biblical obedience. James 2, that's your homework. Faith is not invisible. Faith is not invisible. It is seen. The proof is in the pudding. I still don't know what that means, but I still remember second year physics in university. This old professor, the proof is in the pudding. Well, I don't even know what that means. I forgot everything he said, but apparently the proof is in the pudding. How will you know that Ryan really believes? Ryan's life will really be transformed. Ryan will be doing things that he would never do apart from faith. Why would Abraham ever leave everything unless he believed that God was his treasure? We're going to see in chapter 15, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. He doesn't need to be blessed by the king of Sodom. I don't need your stuff. Why? Because God is my reward. How can Abraham be generous financially? Because he actually believes that God is a reward. So I want to look quickly at a couple passages. We'll see them over and over and over. Go to Galatians 3. Because Paul's trying to unpack here. What does it look like to be a believer? It's to be one who walks by faith. And I told Nathan this. But the adjective used to describe Abraham in verse 9 is amazing, and I would love to have it on my epitaph. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So some of you might be thinking, okay, he's talking about following in the steps of Abraham. The first step of obedience is obedience to the gospel. You must repent of your sins and stop trying to save yourself by your works. Paul says, those who are from the works, literally in the Greek, those who rely on the law, are not sons. If you want to follow in the steps of Abraham, the first step is to be converted, to be saved. I have no problem preaching this every Lord's Day. You must be saved. It's not enough for you to be religious. You cannot be a blessing to the world apart from regeneration. You cannot be a blessing to the world apart from being in Christ. You must be of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the gospel. Faith in the one who came into this world, the eternal Son of God, as we saw in John 17, to redeem those the Father had given him. In this eternal covenant of grace, the Father says, "Here, Son, here are sheep that I've chosen before the foundation of the world for reasons the elect will never understand, but out of my sheer mercy and out of my immense grace, I have given them to you. Now go and redeem them." And the Son comes into the world saying in Hebrews 10, fulfilling Psalm 40, "Here I am to do your will. Give me a body. I will incarnate and be born in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem all those under the law, all those condemned by the law, all those like Abraham who are sinners. I will come in and I will redeem them. Those who turn from relying on themselves and their good works and trust totally in what I will do." That's what it means to believe. Abraham believed God's word. Why? Because he believed God's character. There's some people here this morning, one who think that they're okay. You must believe God's gospel. And the gospel firstly says that you are condemned outside of Jesus Christ. Yes, the gospel is God's good news for salvation to everyone who believes. Yes, the gospel reveals God's righteousness, the righteousness he gives you, but it also reveals that he is righteous to damn you if you are not forgiven of your sins. He's a righteous judge. The gospel declares God's righteousness in judgment. You must believe that, that God is righteous and you are not. That's the dilemma. And I pray to God that if you're not a Christian, you are thinking, "Oh, I am in trouble." You are. You're in big trouble. God is holy. You are not. This is how you bless your neighbor, in the words of Augustine. You love them and say, "You must be forgiven and your good works will not do." You can quote to them Titus 3. "By works of righteousness, we are not justified." No, we need to be washed inwardly. We need to be renewed sovereignly by the Spirit. That you are a condemned criminal. And it's not some lax judge who doesn't mind sweeping justice under the carpet now and then when he feels tired. No, this one who exacts punishment because he is holier than you could ever imagine. That's the bad news of the good news. You must believe that. But then you must believe that Christ came into the world for such people. That Christ came into the world to die for sinners, as I often preach at Blue Sky. Not the righteous. Not the righteous. Not the righteous. Sinners. Jesus came to save. And if you're a member here, pray that God would be convicting people by the Holy Spirit, driving them from themselves, outside of their filthy right good works, showing them the despair of self-salvation, driving them away from themselves and driving them to Christ, making them so uncomfortable that they would be willing to give everything up to follow this King, that they would be willing to die to self that they might find life in Christ. Some of you need to come to that place, and I can't scream loud enough. But oh, the wooings of the Spirit will draw you. And that's our prayer. You must believe. You must be of faith. Faith in all of God's word. Not just that Jesus is a good Savior, but that God is a righteous judge. And that Jesus perfectly satisfies the demands of God's law. That Jesus himself comes in as the obedient second Adam. As the true obedient Noah, as the true obedient Abraham, as the true obedient Israel, that Jesus has come to abolish the law, but in him it might be fulfilled perfectly. And he might go beyond even the Old Testament law, and he might extend his love by dying for his neighbors and his enemies. Do you believe that? Know then, it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, not the religious. The Pharisees, they thought that they were okay. Do you remember John the Baptist? He comes in right away in Matthew 3. And he starts calling them a brood of vipers. Snakes. Me and Christina, some people were generous and we got away to Great Falls. And so we went for a walk to the Lewis and Clark exhibition. And as we were walking, now she knows what it's like to be confronted by a snake. She almost stepped on one. She jumped back and screamed. Vipers are loathsome. I don't care what anyone says. And here are these whitewashed religious people, and John says, you're nothing more than a viper that Ryan wants to stomp. We're religious. We're sons of Abraham. And John says, God can raise up stones. Merely being religious does not make you a son of Abraham. You Jewish people who are religious, you're not a son of Abraham by dint of your nationality. You become a son of Abraham by believing the gospel the way Abraham believed the gospel. Yeah? Yeah, the gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham. We're going to see the gospel all the way through Genesis 12 to the end of Abraham's life in 23. Are you a faith? Not faith that it will be sunny tomorrow. Faith in the gospel. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify, declare righteous the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, this is exactly what we just read in Genesis 12, is it not? In you shall all the nations be blessed. Conclusion. So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Isn't that great? Abraham dies, setting up his tombstone. This is a little bit creativity, but you know, there it is, in Shechem. Abraham, man of faith, blessing to the world. That's what I would like on mine. Ryan Case, man of faith, blessing to the world. He believed in Christ, not just for his justification, but he believed in Christ every time he read the Word of God, and he said, here am I. Send me. Literally, the Greek says, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with believing Abraham. We're going to see he stumbles. We're going to see Sarah is an extremely patient wife. Right? They go for a little family vacation to Egypt. Abraham stumbles. But as Schreiner says, and I agree with him in Romans 4, that Abraham's life is generically characterized by faith. We all slip. I get it. We have a bad day. We don't believe. But don't you want your life to be generally summarized this way? Believing Cheryl, believing Nathan, believing Tony, believing Ryan, believing Charles. Believing! Not just here and there, but a life of faith and a life of blessing. That's what I want. And then we go to Romans 4. I promise you, we'll be done after this. But here's just Paul. When he's arguing for the doctrine of justification by faith, he transitions now to sanctification by faith. And Abraham provides for us the greatest example. Abraham just simply believed God's promise. And then he acted on it. And amazing things happened. What would happen, parents, if you actually believed that disciplining your children works despite what the world says? I just thought that faith has to do with justification. It's all of life. I was thinking about this morning. You can't compartmentalize faith. You either believe God and his word or you don't. If you believe God's gospel, the Savior in Christ, then you believe God's word in Proverbs to live it out. To believe that, oh, living generously with my money and my time and my talents, that's just as much faith as it is believing in Christ to save me from my sins. And some of us are content just to be in camp one. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I've believed in Christ. My sins are gone. But that same faith should be helping you as you read your Bible tomorrow, as you're reading the Old Testament, say. Let's just start in verse 11. One reason why I'm a Baptist, but we're not going there. Abraham received the sign of circumcision, and we'll see that in chapter 17 of Genesis, as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. Now understand that word righteousness is going to be used in chapter 6. We're talking about obedience. Not salvation by works. I got it. It's salvation by faith, but that salvation by faith produces righteousness. He received this while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him, here it is again, the father. And I would ask you, is Abraham your father? in Christ, yes, I get it. But Paul, I'm not rebuking Paul. Paul seems content to say that believers have a father named Abraham. Is Abraham your father? I don't know. Well, let's keep reading, and then you'll be able to see. The purpose of this was to make Abraham the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well. So here it is again. They're justified by faith. They believe God's gospel. But then they believe it every day. Salvation is not just a one-time ordeal. The gospel, through faith, brings salvation. Justification, sanctification, glorification. What does that mean? It saves you from your sin, and then it changes your life from within. Just finish the text. Okay. So that righteousness would be counted to them as well, verse 12, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also, say it, walk. Walk how? Walk in the footsteps of the faith. Faith walks. Not cooking Chinese food. Come on. Liven up a bit. Of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who walk. And that Hebrew word, halach, we're going to see it over and over. What happened in Genesis 12? Abraham walked by faith. No, he just left everything and went to a place he didn't know. That's by faith. God is going to call some of us to some amazing feats this year. God's going to ask you to walk by faith. Show me and then I'll do it. Abraham didn't have the GPS. So, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but when you go into the States, and if you're cheap, you don't get the extra data plan. And so what you do is, you're like me, you load the map into your Apple phone, and then it's good. You can turn off the cellular, and it's in there. Until you take a wrong turn. And then it says redirecting, and it never happens. You don't know where you're going, in other words. You thought you were, and then all of a sudden you took a wrong turn, and you can't see the end. That's Abraham. Abraham had an old iPhone, and he didn't have a good data plan, so he had no idea where he's going. But he trusted the God who was leading him. I don't know what God has for you this year. It could be immense prosperity. It could be the loss of someone. It could be just a cataclysmic event in your life. I don't know. But will you trust God, even if you don't see the end? That's a huge blessing to you. In ways you will never understand, it will be a huge blessing. As you walk by faith, trusting the trustworthy God, you will be blessed and you will bless others. Abraham isn't immediately blessed in chapter 12. And so I'm calling you to walk in the steps of Abraham. What does that mean? Do I book a ticket to Canaan? No. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and you walk after him. When he says, do this, you do it. Because you love him and you trust him. I was saying to Nathan last week, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit has been, is, or will be convicting you to do something massive sometime soon. I'm not prophesying. It's just, you're a Christian. Share the gospel with your neighbor. That's huge. The question is, will you obey it? Will you stand up in university and say, I am a Christian? Will you tell your coworker, like Cliff did to his new boss, I'm a Christian? What a blessing that was for me to hear. What a blessing it will be if this man asks Cliff about the hope that Cliff has in himself. God might be asking you to be very generous with your money. Maybe some of you, God's saying you need to adopt a child. Or maybe you need to get some compassion kids. Or maybe you need to sponsor a missionary. Or maybe you need to start giving to the church. Those are huge. And the reason why we don't do those is because we really, at the end of the day, are trusting in mammon and not in the God who says he will be there for us. Some of you, I was thinking, God might call to become a missionary somewhere, even where the food isn't awesome. Think about it. What a blessing that would be. Maybe God's calling someone But I thought, what if God is calling some of our young kids, some of our teenagers, some of our young adults to the mission field? Will you believe God? Will you trust him? Is he trustworthy? Is he reliable? You say amen all the time. You know what that Hebrew word means? A firm foundation. You can put all of your weight on it. Just like the way you did when you believed that you could put all of your sin on Jesus. Every day, that's the same faith God wants from us. Not just a raising a hand after an emotional plea, but a life of walking, following in the footsteps of our father Abraham. We can stop there, I think. I think there's a place to stop. Take home. And I want you to go home if you're married, and I want you to pray with your spouse. And I want you to say, Lord, what would you have us to do this year? What would you have us to do this week? I believe the Holy Spirit speaks through his word. Don't worry. My 2 weeks off, I'm still cessationist. It's all good. But I believe that God speaks through his word by his spirit. Some of us are afraid to ask God what he's asking us to do. That's why we're not a blessing. I want to be a blessing. If you're a Christian, you want to be a blessing. You spread God's blessing to others when you obey God's word to us or to you. God's purpose, this isn't me, you know, listening to a whole bunch of health, wealth, prosperity. They abuse the word blessing. But just because they abuse it doesn't mean we should remove it. Alan Ross's whole commentary of Genesis is called Creation and Blessing. We've looked at creation, and the rest of that now, of Genesis, is how God is seeking to restore his blessing to the world in Christ through his church. If you're a Christian, God is seeking to restore blessing to this world in Christ through you as you obey. First thing, you must obey the gospel. The second thing, you must obey the gospel. If you're an unbeliever, believe the gospel and be justified. If you're a believer, believe the gospel. Again, believe it now and believe it tomorrow. The first is a one-time act that justifies and blesses us. The second is a lifelong venture that sanctifies us and blesses others. You get it? You believe in Christ and you're blessed. But then as a Christian, as you believe in Christ, others are blessed. Don't hide your light under a bushel this year. Get it up for everyone to see. Take your neighbors out. Be generous with your money. Be generous with your time. Sacrifice so you can gather for prayer. Sacrifice so your kids can come to Sunday school. Is Ryan getting legalistic? I don't think so. If I am, just continue to pray for my legalistic heart. Conclusion. Why did I close my Bible? My old homiletics teacher would have strapped my hand for that. Never close a Bible if you're preaching until the sermon is done. It says so much. Romans 5. We're in Romans 4. All you got to do is turn a page more. Who is the obedient son par excellence, right? God has always desired and destined to bless his world through the obedience of his people. Jesus, as it were, becomes the head of his people. He becomes the representative of his people, the way Adam was in Genesis chapter 3 when he sinned. Okay, so I want you to ultimately leave not looking to your obedience, but looking to Christ's obedience, and by grace through faith seeking to imitate it. So let's see. Verse 15. The free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So Jesus is obedient, and it brings blessing to the world. True? I think so. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, Adam. For the judgment following the one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, here it is, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life. Not just receive it, but you will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, if you're not in Christ, that verse is yours. And that's heavy, and that should shake you. If you believe there's a God and he's holy, and you're not in Christ, you're condemned right now. That's Romans 1. You should shudder. But oh, for the cross. So one act of righteousness. The cross is the culmination of Christ's perfect obedience. Obedient in life and obedient in death. So by the one man's obedience, the second Adam, the many will be made righteous. Did you notice he didn't say declared righteous? We'll get into that after. He's transitioning to chapter 6, where those who have been declared righteous now increasingly are made righteousness through obedience. Just the way Abraham was. The one who believed, yes, and was justified, but the one who believed and obeyed and was sanctified. The law came in to increase the trespass. Oh, I hope the law cuts you this year. And I hope it so cuts you that it drives you to the physician who alone can heal you. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go home and read chapter 6. If you've been justified, you must be sanctified. The same faith that justifies will be the faith that sanctifies. How do you know you're believing? You're just doing it. When the pastor says something from the Word of God, you do it. When you read something in your devotions and it's clear, you do it. When the Bible says don't gossip, you stop gossiping. When the Bible says that you pray, you pray. That's not legalism. I would encourage you who think it is to actually obey and see the great life of joy that comes from taking God at his word. Whatever it is to you, kids, please don't ever get into the habit of merely memorizing your verses or reading the Bible. Do it. Do it. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask as we work through Genesis this fall that you will give us faith. Father, we want the kind of faith that blesses the world. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be working powerfully as we work through Genesis, showing us beyond Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to the true seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this will be such a Christ-centered exposition of Genesis that our hearts will just overflow with love and gratitude and joy and thankfulness and obedience to the one through his one act of obedience justified the many. Father, I just pray that we would increasingly take you at your word, that we would just obey. We would just say, God is worth it. And I don't understand that his ways are higher than mine, but I understand that he's good because I know about the cross. Make us a fruitful congregation. Make us a blessing, Lord, to Lethbridge. How many churches, and ours included, Lord, have their little clubs but are really not extending the blessing of Christ to their neighbors or to the nations. Father, I pray, make us fruitful. Oh, that we would multiply, but help us understand that being fruitful and multiplying requires obedience, naturally and supernaturally. Help us, Lord. Help us to not just receive the grace, but even as Nathan explained to us, to celebrate that grace together and to share that grace to others. We thank you, Jesus, that in you grace superabounds. There's more grace than we could ever imagine. For us and for the world, make us a blessing. Help us to follow in the footsteps, not merely of Abraham, but ultimately in the steps of Jesus. Give us his mind, Father. As servants, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.